New arrangement for auxiliary pioneering. There was great excitement when auxiliary pioneers were given the option of working toward a 30-hour or a 50-hour requirement for the month of April. Many who could not ordinarily share in this feature of service eagerly embraced the opportunity to do so. Thousands of publishers joined the ranks of the auxiliary pioneers for the first time, and many who had pioneered in the past were delighted to do so again. Additionally, many publishers who were not able to auxiliary pioneer made an effort to increase their preaching activity. What was the result? Most branches reported increases that far exceeded previous peaks. Worldwide, 2,657,377 publishers shared in the auxiliary pioneer work, about 5 times more than the peak for the preceding year. 80% of the worldwide Bethel family, 16,292 out of 20,290 brothers and sisters, shared in this privilege of service. Is it not thrilling to know that Jehovah's servants did more in the preaching work in April than they had done in any other month in history? Just over a year after the devastating earthquake that claimed the lives of some 300,000 persons, Haiti reported new all-time peaks in the preaching activity in April. Of the 17,009 publishers there, 6,185 served as auxiliary pioneers. A special campaign to distribute the brochure When Someone You Love Dies, recently released in Haitian Creole, provided the grieving population with much-needed comfort and hope. Our brothers and sisters in Nigeria faced a unique challenge during April. On 4 days set aside for an election, 3 of which were Saturdays, the government restricted people from moving about between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m., except for electoral purposes. However, the pioneer spirit was not dampened. We are writing you with great joy and hearts filled with appreciation for the wonderful time we have had this month, wrote one congregation. In another congregation, 92 out of 127 baptized publishers enrolled as auxiliary pioneers, including all the elders and ministerial servants. At Bethel, 555 out of the family of 688 enrolled as auxiliary pioneers. They met the challenge. Jeanette, who lives in the mountains of rural Burundi, has always had the desire to pioneer, but she suffers from a chronic heart condition that prevents her from walking far or climbing steep hills. Jeanette rejoiced when she heard that the hour requirement for auxiliary pioneers in April was reduced. To help her carry out her desire to pioneer, the elders arranged for her to preach in territory close to her house. In addition, pioneers and publishers brought their Bible students to her home for their Bible studies. By the end of the month, Jeanette was delighted to have started 4 Bible studies. "I would love to pioneer again," she says, "and I am confident that Jehovah will help me." On the island of Grenada, a young deaf sister pioneered despite having a disability that makes it difficult for her to walk. "It was a real challenge to walk long distances to get to the bus to go in field service," she said. In addition, this sister was unemployed, and she prayed fervently for Jehovah's help. In harmony with her prayers, she supported herself financially by selling crocheted articles and handmade jewelry. "I had a full share in the preaching work," she said afterward, "and I felt the support and encouragement of the brothers. That made me truly happy." Toshi, a 101-year-old sister in Japan, eagerly enrolled as an auxiliary pioneer in April. Being unable to leave the facility where she lives, she preaches by writing letters and by witnessing to helpers who come to her room. "Because I am hard of hearing," explains Toshi, "I talk in a very loud voice. As a result, other people in the vicinity can also hear me." Felix, a quadriplegic in Costa Rica, decided to auxiliary pioneer. How, though, could he do so? A literature table was set up outside his home so that he could witness to passersby. By the end of the month, Felix was physically tired, but he felt spiritually refreshed and elated to have started 4 Bible studies. Many young publishers were also eager to be included in the special activity in April. For example, in Spain, 11-year-old Sandra and her 7-year-old brother Alejandro wanted to increase their preaching activity. Motivated by the zealous spirit of their congregation and their parents' enthusiastic example, Sandra and Alejandro wished that they could serve as auxiliary pioneers. How could they do so, though, when they were not baptized? Both children drew up a schedule to spend as much time in field service as their parents and then prepared for the ministry by rehearsing presentations on their family worship evening. Their parents thought that as the month progressed, the children might tire out. But the two young publishers never wavered for a moment. By April 30th, all in the family had reached their personal goal of 30 hours, except for young Alejandro, who still needed 3 hours. So on the last day, out he went with his father in order to reach his goal for the month. How happy they were to have had a busy and satisfying time as a united family. "I prayed daily," relates Jean, "that my husband Philip and I would be able to preach for 30 hours. However, Philip, who had served as a district overseer until he was incapacitated by a cerebral aneurysm, lay immobile in a hospital bed in Spain, unable even to speak. His only means of communication was with his eyes, blinking once for yes and twice for no. When I told him about the auxiliary pioneering," continues Jean, "he indicated that he too would like to auxiliary pioneer. But how could he accomplish his goal?" During the previous months, Jean and Philip had preached to patients, visiting family members, and hospital personnel. "In April, we planned to preach right there in our hospital ward for about 1 hour a day while Philip was awake and could share in the discussion by blinking. In March, though, Philip was transferred to an isolation ward. Nevertheless, he and Jean were still able to keep their schedule, conversing with hospital staff members for several minutes at various times during the day. One of the nurses who accepted the book, What Does the Bible Really Teach?, looked Philip in the eye and promised to come the next day to read scriptures. When the nurse returned, Jean invited her to read John 17:3 and asked her to explain what she thought it meant. As they continued, using this method, Philip would indicate by blinking his eyes whether the nurse was correct or not. Even when the nurse was not on duty in Philip's ward, she came to assure him that she was asking Jehovah to help her draw close to him. The following is from page 12 of the printed edition. What they said about auxiliary pioneering.
"For the first time in my life, I was able to auxiliary pioneer. I have no words to express my gratitude for this opportunity."
"Thank you so much for this new arrangement. It has given us so much joy."
"This was a highlight in the history of our congregation."
"Having so many auxiliary pioneers has contributed to a spirit of peace and unity in the congregation."
"Yes, Armageddon must be coming soon. A non-witness who noticed our increased activity in April."
Returning to the account. Jehovah's servants view this increased activity as a way to demonstrate their love for their neighbor, their gratitude for Jesus Christ's sacrifice, and their devotion to their Heavenly Father. They eagerly look forward to March 2012, when they will again have the option of working toward a 30-hour or a 50-hour requirement for the month.